السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب
Huzur says that in the world there are thousands and millions of people in the world who suffer with ailments. You visit a hospital and it seems as if in the world there is no one who's living, who's not ill. In the Western countries, in the advanced countries, there are facilities for treatments which a person has facility to get help from. But in the third world countries, when you make an assessment, you find that there are hundreds and thousands of people who are suffering but cannot have any medical facilities, and they are helplessly suffering. They are in a very bad state. And then the hospitals in those countries, you look at them, their condition is such that even if somebody reaches a hospital for service, the facilities are not there. If there are some facilities, then either the doctor is not available, and that is why they cannot be treated, or for any other reason. So what I am saying is that there are hundreds and thousands of people in the world who are suffering with ailments. And Huzur says that there are some who have treatments available, and then they are destined then to have good health, they recover, and then there are large numbers of people who have arrived at the final destined state and no treatment works on them. And then there are many who, because of their faults, they fall victim to ailments, and although they are young of age and it seems they are healthy apparently, but a small ailment that strikes them, or such an illness strikes them which becomes dangerous, and then in spite of the treatment they cannot recover. They try to resort to every treatment, but the final destined time had arrived for them, and then they do not survive. But in the world, there are innumerable people who, like in some countries, there isn't the facilities available, or otherwise, in places the facilities are there and they cannot afford those treatments. In spite of that, some are given recovery by the help of Allah, and they then have long lives. And then there are also those who, when all treatments fail, then due to the acceptance of some prayer by some pious people on their behalf, or their own prayers are sometimes accepted, and they recover. All these things, all these factors, they compel a person who is righteous to turn his attention. And of course, these things should also compel a person to focus the attention to the point that treatment, that to recover with treatment or without treatment. And then the factors that people had all treatments but could not recover, behind all this there is a power which is working. There is a being who has the holder of all control of recovery and health. And Huzur says, as Huzur had said before, in spite of treatments, or when treatments have failed because of the prayers, agonizing prayers to Allah the Almighty, when those prayers are accepted, a person stricken with dangerous disease recovers. And this is a proof that the real source of cure is not only treatments. As a matter of fact, treatment or no treatment, the being of Allah the Almighty is the source of providing all cure. And this is what we are taught by Islam. And on this factor, a believer has perfect belief and should have belief in that. A normal day-to-day person may or may not believe it, but a believer knows for sure that the source of all cures is Allah the Almighty. Any ill person, when recovers, right under the observation of a believer, that believer is strengthened in his faith in Allah being the Shafi, the provider of cure. And this beneficence of Allah the Almighty is not only limited to human beings. It encompasses all living beings and even every bit of creation. Nowadays, researches are being carried out about animals, about botanical life, that there are cures for everything, and Allah guides human beings to those cures. In the world today, look at agriculture. There are many pests and diseases, and then investigation is carried out and some cures are discovered, and Allah has put that cure there. And then in animals, there are domestic pets, and then there are wild beasts. All researches that are done for them, they give some results. But human beings, who are the best of the creation, for human beings, besides physical cure for ailments, Allah the Almighty has also provided cures for spiritual ills and for spiritual progress and to take people closer to Himself. Allah the Almighty saints, prophets, and other righteous and pious souls in the world. And if a person uses his understanding and logic well, then the person would be forever bowing to Allah the Almighty, that how for his physical and spiritual well-being Allah has put those sources in place. Right now I'm going to speak about physical ills, that how Allah the Almighty has made arrangements for recovery for his servants. Like Hazrat said before, Allah has also appointed his own creatures in place so that they will look after the ailments of human beings and then animals as well. And the research on the ailments of human beings and the efforts that are made, there is no limit to that. In large modern countries, large sums of money are spent on that research. Nowadays, the new discoveries of medicines and new procedures for surgery that are there in place, that have been discovered, which today's human being resorts to and gets those treatments done. This is because Allah the Almighty has given that understanding to man, and man used that intellect, and these treatments were thus made available. Today, in the advanced world, the percentage of recoveries is much improved. A few decades ago, that was unthinkable. But even today, Allah the Almighty, to demonstrate to man that you are not the persons who are providers of cure, but Allah says that He is. So in some cases where the doctors think 100% that the person will recover, they do not recover. So a believer always sets his sight instead of on doctors. They should always focus on the provider of all cure, who is Allah the Almighty. One such person who thought that he was a big doctor, he was told, that the real doctor is Allah the Almighty. Yes, you are a sympathizer. The real doctor is the one who has given life to this person. The ailments are also from Allah the Almighty, or they are the natural results of human faults and mistakes, and people have to then face the results of what they've done. In this day and age, the true dedicated servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the Promised Messiah alaihi wasallam, once there was this incident that took place, and the Promised Messiah alaihi wasallam said to this person who considered himself to be a great doctor, and it seemed that he had no reliance or faith in God, so the Promised Messiah alaihi wasallam refused to take treatment from him. Mentioning that, Munshi Zafar Rehmat Sahib Raziyallahu Anhu, a companion of the Promised Messiah alaihi wasallam, writes that Hadrat Sahib was suffering with migraines, and about a doctor it was heard that he has great expertise. He was called And he arrived from quite a fair distance. When he arrived, he said that I will make sure that you recover in 2 days. Hearing this, the Prophet ﷺ proceeded indoors and he wrote to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih first that I do not want this man's treatment. He is making claims of godliness. Give him the money that he requires for his return journey and send him back. So this is how godly people behave, that in their illness as well, their total reliance is in Allah the Almighty, neither on the doctor and nor on the medicine. So this attitude, this example that was shown by the true dedicated slave of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, this is what he demonstrated for us. In this modern age, there are life support machines, you can see, that have developed, and people can be kept alive for quite a long time, or life can be revived. And new methods of surgery have been discovered, so people are living much longer. A few years ago, like you said before, the treatments that seemed impossible are now an everyday affair. So this progress should not be looked at in the way that now man is not under the beneficence of God and has become a sharer of those powers. This is a beneficence of Allah the Almighty, that He has given this understanding and intellect to human beings, that they are discovering these new treatments. And through them, Allah the Almighty then has mercy and grants recovery and health. So it is Allah the Almighty who is the holder of all beneficence. A doctor is a sympathizer, and every person who researches, he does that, and every doctor and every physician, they have to become the sympathizers of other human beings, and in that way they should try and help people. This is the glory of a believer. This should be the way an Ahmadi should think. The others don't think in that way. Every Ahmadi researcher or doctor, for his or her patients, they should work with this human sympathy for other human beings. With the grace of Allah, our doctors in Africa as well and in other parts of the world, they write Huwa Shafi on top of their prescriptions, that Allah is the one who is the provider of all health. So if every physician, every doctor does that and then also writes the translation underneath those words, then this will draw the blessing of Allah the Almighty, and it will also draw the attention of the people to that, and Allah will grant them greater powers, inshallah. And Huzoor says, I am hopeful that most doctors do that, but many young doctors are not reminded of this. So through this, I am reminding them to do it. Forever, every Ahmadi, if he is a physician, he should always keep in mind that the intellect granted by Allah the Almighty and the knowledge given to him by Allah the Almighty, with that he is treating a patient. But it is Allah the Almighty who is the provider of the cure. If Allah will give permission, only then the treatment will be blessed. If that is the attitude, then the doctor will also turn towards prayer. And when his attention is turned towards prayer, then in his hand there would be greater cure that will be provided, and he will also have greater belief in Allah the Almighty and the spirituality he has or she has will also be enhanced. And the patient must also not think that if such and such doctor treats me, then I will be better. If I go to such and such good hospital, only then I can be treated. Of course, you should try and get the best treatments possible, but do not put your reliance in that. Always you should have the attitude that the provider of health is Allah the Almighty. If Allah will give the permission, only then I will have health. So you should pray that whoever is the doctor, may Allah place cure in the hands of that doctor, and may Allah open the intellect of that doctor and give him the understanding. This is the prayer that every Ahmadi should undertake, that with the grace of Allah the Almighty, the cure has to be granted by Allah, and then Allah grants that cure by also giving reliance in Allah the Almighty. In this way, in the ailments of your own selves or your relatives, when the letters are sent, they also show that Ahmadis, they believe in Allah the Almighty for that cure. That is why they ask for prayers. But in some people, sometimes the thinking is that such and such doctor I need for my treatment, and that is the source of all success, and this becomes a hidden source of associating partners with Allah the Almighty. In this regard, the Khalifatul Masih the First, who was an expert physician, he has mentioned many of his incidents. One I quote here. He said that I had a sister who had a son, and he suffered with cholera and died. After a few days, when I visited, she saw the patient being recovered through a treatment I gave to a patient of cholera. She said to me that if you had arrived earlier, maybe my son would have survived. I said that you will have a son in the future and he will die in my presence. So in then a later time, she had a son and she said to me, please pray. So I said, Allah will grant you another child, but this one you will have to let go. So after that, she had another son who had a long life and is still living at the time of making that record. And he said that was the destiny of God. Then there is an incident of Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib. In 1907, he said, in New Hospital in Lahore, I was a surgeon when my wife's older sister, she came to visit her sister and she stayed with us for a month. She was also my cousin. So she came because she had had a daughter who, after living for a few months, had died. So she had come to her sister to spend some time with her to overcome her loss. And when she came, she would say again and again that if my brother-in-law, Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib, had been there, my daughter would not have died. So when she mentioned it a few times, then I had this great jealousy I felt for Allah the Almighty, and I said that definitely he will now have a son and I will treat that son and he will die. So he said that the time passed and then she had a son, and she came after about 6 weeks of the baby being born, and she came to visit us. And she had milk in a flask and the milk had gone bad, and she kept feeding that milk to the baby, and the baby became extremely ill. Then all treatments were given. Dr. Sahib got all treatments for the baby from other doctors as well, but after 2 weeks the baby died. And they did not have any other sons, so the mother was greatly hurt. And at that time, Dr. Saheb said that I was reminded of the thing which I had said 6 or 7 years prior to that, that he will have a son who will die under my treatment, so that the shirk is broken, this association of partners with Allah. So these were the people who refrained, who protected and safeguarded themselves from any hidden element of shirk, associating partners with Allah, and they also made other people to understand not to have that kind of association of partnership with Allah, and their hearts were filled with belief in Allah and the spiritual powers of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, polished these powers in them. So you should always remember that a treatment is only helpful when Allah the Almighty, who is the provider of cure, gives his permission. So through this attribute of Allah the Almighty, you need to beg for the recovery of that patient. Of course, Allah has provided treatment for all ailments. Nowadays, all the new discoveries that are being made of new medications and treatments for ailments, they draw benefit from what Allah has created. There are so many herbs and vegetation, and they are all there for help. Then there are some creepy crawlies who become the source of treatment. The snakes, sometimes they have a venom that they can kill, and then that venom, when used, that poison when used for treatments, many a time becomes a source of treatment. So this is the beneficence of Allah the Almighty, that He has given us those medications, and then He has given the intellect and understanding how to use them. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty, through the reference of shifa, honey has been mentioned, and it has been called shifa linnas, that there is treatment, there is cure for mankind. And even more than Muslims, the non-Muslims have worked on that. The research carried out on honey and all its various kinds and all its qualities, and the combinations that are made, there is royal jelly, it has various benefits in it. So a lot of research is being carried out on that. A lot has been done in the past as well. And through that, it has been proved propolis, which is made from it, ointments are also made from it, which is used for such lesions which were not responding to anything. They have responded to propolis ointments. But nowadays, on the beehives, there is an attack of some sort, because of which those who keep bees, they are really worried. And this is happening the world over, not only in some countries. This is an attack of some worm, which then kills, or some bacteria, which kills the bees. And in the beehive, although there are a lot of safeguards, like antibiotics, they are present, which is in those holes through where the bee cleanses itself before going in. In spite of that, this worm or this bacteria, it is attacking them and it kills the bees. And Uzur says the beekeepers and the researchers, they are greatly worried. A lot of research is going on into that, that how to overcome this ailment, this attack. Some say that if this continues, then in a few years the bee will almost become extinct, or it will become extinct in some area. Hazur says, I feel that their estimations are wrong, that the bee will become extinct or honey will disappear, because this example recorded in the Holy Quran is a guarantor that honey will not disappear. Like Allah the Almighty has mentioned that Holy Quran will always remain. So all these things mentioned in the Holy Quran will be present. The shifa will be there. It might be possible that in some areas to demonstrate his power and to break the shirk of human beings, their association of partners with Allah, Allah might decrease it there. So Ahmadis must come into this research, join this research, because the honeybee, the mention of that is also linked to revelation, and Allah will help those who are linked, bonded to revelation. So with that thinking, with that attitude, I'm saying to the Ahmadis that in the research on the honeybee and the making of the honey, Ahmadis should look into the factors that why the honeybees are being attacked in this way. I do not know whether there's any Ahmadi in this field. If there is any, then do let me know about it. In passing, I will say that I say to Ahmadi students, I have been saying for some years that in every field of research they should step forward. These fields are emptying in vast numbers in the world, and the world needs it. In the progressive worlds, in the progressive countries, Ahmadis will have a strong footing. Those who have come from other countries or Ahmadis of this country, of course they should participate in it. And for the progress of their own countries, wherever they are living, they can perform a wholesome role. So what I was saying, as Hazur says, is that Allah the Almighty has mentioned the cures, and ahadith have also mentioned some cures of ailments. In some ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of these cures are mentioned, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared them as ailment, as treatments. As Asad relates that I was ill and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to visit me. He put his hand on my chest until I felt its coolness on my heart. He said, you are suffering with heart problem. You should go to Haris bin Kalda. He is a physician, and he should also then crush the stones of ajwa, date, and feed them to you. So he pointed out the ajwa date. And then Hazrat Abbas reports that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that in honey there is cure, and then surgery is a source of cure, and also burning some wounds with fire. But he said, I tell my ummah not to undertake this burning with fire. And then Hazrat Khalid bin Saad relates that we were on a journey and we had Ghalib bin Abdul was with us, and he became ill. And when we arrived in Medina, he was still ill. Abi Atiq came for visiting him, and he said that you should use that black seed. Out of that, take 5 or 7 seeds, crush them, and then add oil to it and pour it into the nostrils from both sides. Because Hazrat Aisha Raziyallahu Anha told me that she had heard the Holy Prophet say that this black seed is a source of cure for everything except Saam. Hazrat Aisha asked, what is Saam? She said, death. The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, death, and this black seed is kalonji. And then Sa'id bin Zayd relates that he heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ say that The mushrooms are a source of cure. And then Hazrat Umar relates that the Holy Prophet said that fever is a flame of hell, so quench it with water. And once a companion was visiting while the Holy Prophet was suffering with fever, and there was a goat skin hanging on top, and water was dripping drop by drop on him. So these were treatments that were taken by the Holy Prophet. Then the Holy Prophet said in a report of Abu Hurairah that if a fly falls into your vessel, you should pick the fly and dip it fully, immerse it fully into the liquid, because in one wing there is disease and in the other wing there is cure. Now the Holy Prophet ﷺ told us of this cure 1400 years ago, and the scientists are still researching it, and they are discovering that there is some cure. And one researcher has said that if the fly is immersed in ethanol, then in hospitals there are those problematic factors in those ethanols. It was used and the bacteria were killed. In Tokyo University, a professor has carried out some research, and he says in the near future people will be amazed to see that in the hospitals flies will be used as antibiotics. In the flies, something has been discovered which creates resistance or develops the immune system. The scientists also were drawn to look into flies was that they sit at dirty places and they have a lot of germs they are carrying, of cholera, etc., but they themselves are freed from that illness. So this point drew their attention to investigating it further, and then they saw that they have antibacterial elements in them. So this as well is a factor that they found, that when the fly falls into some liquid, in some milk or something, then immediately there are germs in that which turn that liquid bad. But if the fly is immersed, then those enzymes emerge which kill those bacteria. So this is the amazing glory of the Lord of Islam, who showed and taught those methods to his prophet, which the world is still investigating. But in spite of drawing the attention to all these treatments, the Holy Prophet always told his followers and laid great stress on it that prayer is the source of cure, and then giving in charity and alms, sadqah, is a source of cure. In a hadith it is said that treat your sick by giving charity for them, and safeguard your wealth through giving zakat, because this will remove your ills and your ailments. And then in a hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that the Holy Prophet said that for the people of your household, that the Holy Prophet used to seek safeguard for the people of his home, and he would say, O Allah, the Lord of the people, give cure. You are the Shafi. Besides your cure, there is nobody who can provide cure. Grant such cure that it will leave no element of the disease. Ishfi anta shafi la shifa illa shifauka shifan la yughadiru sakama. So this is the real source of reliance where a believer should put his reliance, that although the treatments have been guided to by Allah the Almighty and treatments are undertaken in that way, but the reliance, the trust has to be totally in Allah the Almighty, because it is Allah the Almighty alone who grants cure. When all treatments fail, then it is prayer that grants the cure. We have seen the incidents of that in the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, in the life of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, in the life of the promised Messiah ﷺ, in the life of the companions of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, of promised Messiah ﷺ, and even today we see those incidents. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that a woman came with his son to the Holy Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is suffering with madness, and when we are eating, he starts a fit and he destroys our food. The reporter said that the Holy Prophet ﷺ put his hand on the chest of the child and prayed for him. And at that, the child, after a bit, vomited, and there was some black stuff that emerged from his body, and then he recovered. Then another report has mentioned that Yazid bin Abi Ubaid relates that I saw a mark on the ankle of Abi Salma. He said, I had that on Khaybar, and people had told the Holy Prophet ﷺ that Abi Salma has that injury. The Holy Prophet ﷺ blew 3 times on that spot, and after that there was no suffering left. And in this day and age, the true devotee of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the slave of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which is the Prophet Islam, he demonstrated that. He says about Sardar Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib that his son Abdul Rahim was suffering with a fever which seemed fatal, and he was in a state when he had nearly died. When I prayed for him, I was told that this is the destiny, and then I prayed to Allah that, O Allah, I pray for him on his behalf. At that, Allah the Almighty revealed that who is it who can vouch for anyone on his behalf, and he said, I trembled at that time, and then I prayed again, and Allah the Almighty then gave me the revelation that permission is granted to pray on behalf of this person. And then he recovered, and then he recovered so well, he is still alive and living. Hazrat Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib says that in 1904, Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib became very ill, and during that illness, at one time his wife thought that he is about to die. She went running to the Promised Messiah crying. The Promised Messiah gave him a little bit of mushk and said, give it to him, and he stood in prayer. It was early morning, the mushk was fed to Mufti Sahib, and within a short time he recovered. Mufti Zafar Ahmed Sahib relates, Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib relates, that from Amroha, person was brought, the person was quite obese. He was 50 or 60 years old. He was so deaf that he used to have a pipe in his ear to listen, and when somebody shouted, only then he could hear. Hazrat Sahib was making a speech one day. He was sitting there and he said, "Huzoor, I cannot hear anything. Please pray that I can start to hear your speech." During the speech, the Prophet ﷺ turned to him and said, "Allah has the power." And immediately the man said that, "I can now hear everything," and he removed that pipe from his ear.
Mian Nazir Hussain Sahib, even Hazrat Hakim Marhum Isa Sahib,
Mian Nazir Hussain Sahib, son of Hakim Marhum Isa, he says that when Jalaluddin Sahib had his first son, that was my father, he mentioned that at that time, he said that up to 5 years he did not speak or walk. At that occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was visiting Lahore, so my grandfather said to the Prophet ﷺ that, "I have one son and he doesn't walk and cannot hear. Please pray that he recovers to health." Huzoor said, "Bring the child to me." So then he took the baby in his lap and prayed for a long time, and then he said, "If Allah wills, he will recover." Then when the Prophet ﷺ came back to Lahore, he said to Chiraghdin Sahib that, "Allah the Almighty has accepted my prayer and your son will walk a lot and he will hear a lot." So they said at the age of 80 to 90, the Prophet ﷺ said that he will speak a lot. So at 80 or 90 years of age, he used to walk very fast and he used to speak a great deal. Shaykh Zainul Abideen Sahib رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ reports that once I was visiting Qadian, Hazrat Sahib was walking in the semi-circular room and I had a terrible cough. I had taken a lot of treatments. Hazrat Sahib said, "Mian Zainul Abideen, what is the reason for your visit?" I said, "Huzoor, my cough is so bad that sometimes I do not know whether I will have the next breath or not." Huzoor said, "How long have you had it?" He said, 6 months. Huzoor said, "Why did you not let me know? Now the illness has got itself embedded." So he said, "Do you want a treatment for a rich man or a poor man?" He said, "Whatever you feel best." He said that the farmers are usually poor. So, for how much money have you brought for your treatment? He said, "I have 5 rupees. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Okay, give that to me." So he said, "Now give that to me here. Now you will never have a cough again." So like I was in the habit of saying things very easily, Huzoor knew that the farmers have that easy mannerism. So I said, "Do you have any magic that just your saying will make it happen?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "When I have said, then it will happen, inshallah." So then Hamid Ali, my brother, came. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "I have taken 5 rupees from him and I have told him that now he will not have the cough. But these people of the village, they have to have some treatment. They will not believe until then. So bring him some elaichi and some licorice sticks and some munakka." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Now take your 5 rupees, take them back, have your treatment, and this will make you nice and fat." So I insisted, "Please keep it." The Prophet ﷺ said, "No, I don't need that." This was only his way of showing his love and care. So the real thing is to put your reliance in Allah the Almighty, that He is the source of all cure. He grants that when He wills. It is said in Hadith that a prayer is only an assumption and it can only grant cure. when Allah wills. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned it by saying, "Vaiza maristofa huwa yashfin," that when I am ill, Allah the Almighty grants me the cure. So here, by saying that when I become ill, he is mentioning the same point, that sometimes a person becomes ill by making a mistake himself or herself, and then because of that mistake, the law of nature provides the result. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said that when I become ill, Allah grants me the cure, because it's only Allah that when He grants that cure, the person receives that cure. And if the blessing of Allah is not there, then however much of treatment you can have, a person will not recover. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, as recorded in the Holy Quran, that I become ill by my own mistakes, but then it is Allah the Almighty whose grace grants me the recovery. So this is the blessing of Allah the Almighty. And then the use of those treatments is also a blessing of Allah. So for all these treatments, you require to try and absorb the mercy of Allah, and that you will get by bowing to Allah the Almighty. And then Allah the Almighty responds to the cries of His servants, and then He brings into action all those resources as well through which the treatment is given. And sometimes the prayer works all by itself, as I have mentioned those incidents. So to make one aware of the attributes of Allah is the real dignity of a believer. May Allah grant that to us all, and may Allah accept all our prayers and give recovery and cure to all the people who are suffering. Amen.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله